I want to start by thanking you all for the support and the prayers when we went to Africa last week. We went for a funeral, and thank you so much for the financial support, for the prayers, and just upholding us and standing in when I wasn't there. Amen. I bless God for you. We are blessed, and we had a good journey. We came back, and God just showed up in every area. He fought our battles when we thought we were going to fight, and we laid mom to rest, and for that we give thanks to God. Amen. I am blessed to be back home. Hallelujah. Happy New Year. Oh, man. Some enthusiasm, please. Happy New Year. Wow. Wow. It is a new year indeed, and it's the year 2020. Amen. As I was thinking about this year, I thought about when you go to the dentist and he says to you that you have vision 2020. It is perfect vision. And I believe in my heart that this year, the year 2020, that we will have perfect vision. Amen. That we will be able to see clearly, that the Lord is going to open our inner eyes and our inner hearts, that we may be able to see clearly what God has got in store for us. Amen. I want us to read the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter number 37. I'll read verse number 5 to 10. Genesis chapter number 37. I'll read verse number 5 to 10. The title for this sermon today is "That Ain't What I Saw." That Ain't What I Saw. Verse number 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For, behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance," whatever that word is. That's not in Swahili vocabulary, so I'm not going to read it. "To my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, actually it's so complicated, that word, that my Bible has a way to explain it. It says, "bowed in respect." See? "And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet and more for his dreams and for his words. Verse number 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance," or bowed down, I guess, "in respect. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren," verse number 11, I guess I'll continue, "envied him, but his father observed the saying," or put it to heart. Let us pray. Father God, I stand before you this morning, humble. I pray, Lord, that your word will minister life, hope, and truth into our lives this morning. That as your word comes to us, open our hearts, open our inner minds, open our spirits, my Father, that we may be able to see. Because, Father God Almighty, you are a God who speaks to us. So, Father, minister to us today. Holy Spirit of God, interpret this message to us to reach us at the very point of our needs this morning, because you are our Father. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that without a vision, people perish. that without vision, people perish. That if people are not seeing, they will perish. They will not be able to see. Amen. And that leads to death. As we enter into this new year, on your bulletin, I narrated a little story, and I think I'm a good, better storyteller than when I'm typing. When we were traveling to the western part of the country to try and lay mom to rest, and so I went to my GPS and I tried to key in the city or this little village where we were going, and Google identified it. When I put the first part of the word, it told me where that direction was. It says it's on the western part of Kenya. But when I hit drive to that part where it's supposed to give us direction, it said it cannot retrieve the destination information. And then it just went blank. It stayed there because it could not retrieve the destination information. You see, if you cannot retrieve the destination information, you cannot be able to get there. Praise God. If you do not know where you're going, I wrote in your bulletin that you cannot get lost. You can't, because wherever it is that you arrive at could be where you would have been going. Amen. You cannot get lost if you don't know where you're going. However, if you know where you are going, if you have a vision, a clarity of your destination, then it means that you can be able to get the turn-by-turn direction to where you want to go. This morning we are going to talk about vision. As we enter the new year, the year 2020, I pray in my heart that the Holy Spirit of God will bring upon you the real 2020 vision. That you will be able to clearly define what your destination is. That you will be able to clearly assign a place and allocate, this is where I want to go. Because as long as you don't know where you're going, you can't go there. Praise the Lord. As long as you don't know where you're going, you cannot go there. The Bible says, this the story that we have read here today. It speaks about this man. He was 17 years old. As you begin reading chapter 37 at the top, he was a teenager. And the Bible says that this was the very last son of Israel. This was the very, very last born of Israel. Now, what you might not know is that there is something about the Middle Eastern culture, and indeed the African culture as well, where seniority is very important. You see, seniority is very important, that because I'm the firstborn son, at my home, when I say something, it stands. Just because, not because of my education, not because of my wisdom, not because of where I've been, it is just because I was born number one. It means that everything I say stands. My sisters will say, you know what, Dan has spoken, that stays. I've seen that with my dad, I've seen that with my grandfather, that it did not matter where you have been culturally, educationally, as long as the firstborn child speaks, that stays. And so this is the same culture that the Israelites had, and these children of Israel, they knew that because of their seniority, because of their position in the family, they had something. However, the Lord comes and turns that around. This young man who was the very last born of them all, the Bible says that he has a dream. He has a vision. He's able. God allows him to see into the future, to see things about himself that are at the very, very end of time. And the Bible says that this man, he believes so much in what he has seen. He believes into the vision, into what the Lord has opened to him, that he starts speaking about it. That brings me to my first point. Children of God, you need a vision. Praise the Lord. You need a vision. Without a vision, you will perish. The Bible says that in the last days, young men will see visions. And he says the last days, young men will see visions and the older men will dream dreams. It is a season and a time for you to have the clarity of seeing a vision of where you want to be. Where do you want to be? As the year begins, I believe that many people have come up with resolutions. This is what I want to be. This is one. I desire in my heart that you will make it into a vision and that you write it clearly. and concisely, this is what I want to accomplish as I enter the year 2020. As I towards the end, you ask yourself, where do I want to see myself on the 31st of December 2020? Because as long as you have not defined where you want to be, it doesn't matter where you will be at the end of the year. But if you have got somewhere clearly and saying this is what I want to accomplish, you will notice when you're drifting away from what you're supposed to be doing. You will notice when you're drifting away from what you're supposed to accomplish. This man of God, the Bible says that he sees this vision, and this vision is crazy. He says he has a dream. He has a dream that that he is a king, that he is seated on a throne. The Bible says that as he tells his brethren, they do not believe it. Here is how to know that a vision is truly a vision from God, is that when you first tell it, nobody believes you. Children of God, if they believe you the first time you say it, it's probably not yet from God. If they believe you the first time you say it, it's probably not yet from God. And I say yet because God has got a vision for your life. The Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you." He knows the plans. God is not playing, "Let us try and see," with your life. He's not attempting. He's not trying things out. He knows that your life is clear, plain, clear before him. As we continue seeking after the Father, as we continue seeking after the heart, the Bible says that he reveals his heart to them that he loves. He reveals his secrets to them that he loves. Which means that he wants to reveal that future to you. He wants to reveal that vision to you. He wants to reveal his heart concerning your life. As he reveals it to you, you want to believe it enough to speak about it. Now, there's a caveat to that. You be careful who you're speaking your vision or about your vision to. Be careful who you're speaking about your vision to. Because when God reveals it into your heart, you want to be careful who you speak. There are necessary battles. Things that you can avoid. Joseph could easily have avoided all these battles if had he known to the wisdom to speak his vision to the right people. So as God is going to reveal things to you about the year 2020, as he's going to reveal things to you about 20 years from today, as he's going to reveal things to you about the future of your life, you have to be careful who you open your mouth to. The devil has got no access to your future, to the information about your future. He has no idea. Until we open our mouths, he cannot start fighting you. He doesn't know. Had he known, he would never have crucified Jesus. He didn't know the future of Jesus. He didn't know the result of crucifixion was salvation. He didn't know anything about the future. He doesn't know anything about your future. In fact, if there's anything that he uses your past against you. The only information he has access to is how you reacted to that situation last time. So I always say, surprise Satan. Every time he expects you to do the way you did it, do the opposite. He's like, I didn't see that coming. So God is going to reveal this thing to us. We have to be careful who we are opening our mouths to share the vision that God has laid in our hearts about our future. Which means you have to be walking with God closely, that God will reveal to you who the person that you're going to share this information with to be. Remember, the Bible says that he shared it with his brothers. And the Bible says that they were mad and angry and jealous. He shared it with his father. The Bible says he rebuked him. But he put these things in his heart.
Be aware who you're sharing this information with. Because as you share with your father, as you share with somebody that you trust, somebody who's spiritual, somebody that is walking with God, as you share with them, they might be surprised. They might not even think for it to be real. You know, if it's like me coming up with this vision that I'm going to be playing guitar next year. See, that's the reaction. That's probably from the Lord. See? But the Bible says that as he reveals it to his father has the initial shock of, why would you dare, how dare you say that? But then he places these things in his heart, which means he agrees. He continues praying with him. He continues agreeing with him about these things that the Lord has revealed about his life. So be careful who you're sharing the information with. The Bible says that then the brothers, the Bible says that they go off to go look after the cattle. And the father sends them. And at this time, Israel loved Joseph. Because, you see, he was a child that was given to them at a very, very old age. Remember this story of Israel. He had run away, and we will come to that in a later time. But he had run away, and he was trying to find a woman that he loved. But then the parents shortchanged, the uncle shortchanged him, gave him another woman. And so he gave birth with the first woman that he did not really care much about. He gave birth to 10 children. And then he got the woman that he loved passionately, that he worked for 20 years to get. Remember, underline the word 20 because we are going to talk about it. He worked 20 years to access this. The Bible says that then he got these two children, which one was Joseph and Reuben. And he loved Joseph because Joseph was the last born. He loved him passionately. And so he made a beautiful coat for him that was cool. And the brothers see him coming at a distance. And then they decide, you know, let us kill him. Let's kill him and then we'll tell dad that that the animals ate him. So they plan together. And as he's coming down, they decide to kill him. But then you see in Egypt, there was silos, these places that they placed grain, which were holes and pits that were built, that were dug down to put grain. They see this and they say, you know what, we're going to throw him in this pit. And Reuben says, yeah, sure. And Reuben decides, let's put him in the pit, you know, with this idea behind his mind, I'm going to come back and retrieve him and take him back to my brother. Remember, Reuben is the biological brother to Joseph, with mother and father. And he says, I'm going to come back and take him, and I'll take him to dad. So they put him in this pit, but as Reuben is gone, the Bible says that it just happened that in this particular pit that Joseph had been put in, it was not just a pit, it was the right pit. Again, underline that. This pit happened to be in the place where the merchants were going to just happen to be passing by. This pit happened to be at a place where the free transportation that Joseph needed to get to the throne was located. Sometimes when God puts a vision in our hearts, we might be put in a pit, but he always makes sure that the location of the pit is the right location where your transportation to the throne is coming through. You missed a good place to say amen. Sometimes God allows us to be inside a pit. So even as you're looking at the vision 2020, as you're looking at the perfect vision that God has got for you in this year, times are going to come when you're going to feel, it is going to feel like as if you're inside a pit. But I want to reassure you that the pit will be, you could be in a pit, but the pit will be in the right place. Because it just happened that that place is where these merchants that were going to Egypt were coming through. Bible says that then they decide, you know what, let's just make profit out of it. Killing him won't help us. Let's sell him. As they sell him, they took 20 shekels, the Bible says, and then they sell him off to these merchants. We all know the way the story ends. He goes to Potiphar's house, and then he goes to the prison and ends up in the palace. But I want to talk to us about vision. 20 in biblical numerology, 20, the number 20 in biblical numerology is the number of complete cycles. complete cycle. Complete cycle and waiting. I talked earlier about, and this is going to be an example, if you want to just go to this. I wrote this, the number 20 in the Bible symbolizes the cycles of completeness. It is not so widely used, but often it is connected to a perfect period of waiting, labor, or suffering that is compared to a trial and rewarded. Jacob waited for 20 years to get his wife's and property and to release from his father-in-law. We talked about this earlier. After Jacob, you know, he conspires with his mother and steals the birthright over the morsel of soup and then eventually steals the blessings from his brother. The Bible says that he takes off to work at his uncle Laban's place where he works. And the Bible says he works there for 20 years. At the end of 20 years, the Bible says that he comes back. He decides to go back. He's released from this sort of captivity, sort of labor, sort of waiting season. He's released back. As we enter the year 2020, I want to prophesy and declare in your life that the things that have been held back, that the things that have been waiting to come, to happen, that this is the season when God is going to release that into your life. That as you come into your vision 2020, that as you see clearly, that you're going to see that the things that were bound, the things that you are laboring and waiting for, that the Lord is going to unleash those in this year 2020. That as you go into the 20th year, that God is going to open it up. God is going to open that doors and set you free, as it were, like he did for Jacob. The Bible says that after 20 years, he gets released and he comes to meet with his brother. And the Bible says that is when he receives his freedom. If you want to go to the next one, the next example, this was in Genesis chapter number 31. This 20 years, verse 38, have I been with thee? Thy ewes and she goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. This is when Jacob is being released from his father-in-law Laban. That's where it mentioned the year 20. The next one, the next book that I wanted to also quote. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 2. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjan Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Again here, the ark of the covenant had been taken over. And the Bible says that it stayed there for 20 years. At the beginning, after 20 years, it was released. And that is why I'm praying to God and I'm believing together with you that as you enter into this 20th year, that the things that have been waiting, the things that have been held back, that the Lord is going to open in your life. That the Lord is going to, you know, you might be in a pit right now. You know, the Bible does not speak back to Joseph. The Bible does not speak about the attitude of Joseph inside the pit. It doesn't say whether he was angry. It doesn't say whether he was happy, whether he was complaining. But I do believe something in my heart. That what Joseph was saying, which brings us to the title of this message, is, this ain't what I seen. This is not what I saw. Every time that God has got a vision, and I believe that God has showed you something about your life, something about your future. Sometimes you may be at a dead end job and you're looking at the future. You are inside a pit. Your answer is, this is not what I saw. Joseph, seated inside a pit, realizes that it is not a throne. It is not what God had intended. It is not what God had told him was going to happen. Whatever situation you are in currently, whatever circumstance you are in this moment, it's not what you saw. It is not what the Lord has got. The Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to prosper you. That is what God has got planned for you. The Bible says in 1 John, for I have this desire in my heart that you prosper in health, that you prosper physically, that you prosper financially. That is the plan that God has got for you. God wants you to prosper. So whenever you are in a situation, in a pit, wherever you are in a circumstance that you do not understand, I want you to say, look around the situation and the circumstance and say yourself, this is not what I saw. This is not a palace. This is not a throne. This is not where I am supposed to be. Because you see, the Bible says in the book of Habakkuk, if you want to go to the next verse, it says that if write the vision down, write it clearly. For the vision is yet, the Bible says, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 3, the Bible says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The Bible says that the vision is clear. That it might take some time for it to speak, but it will surely come to pass. So whatever circumstance you're in, even as we enter this new year, whatever situation you are feeling right now, financially, physically, mentally, the challenges that you are in right now, it ain't what you saw. Because as much as it is, it might tarry, the Bible says it will surely come to pass. Whatever it is that God has got, the Bible says no eye has seen in the book of Corinthians, Romans 8. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it occurred to the mind of man, the things that God has got in store for them that trust in Him. I would like us to come and enter into the new year with a new renewed confidence, with a new renewed boldness, with a new renewed courage, because we are aware that whatever it is, I might not be where I am supposed to be, but this is not it. Listen to me, children of God. God has not brought you this far to kill you. God has not allowed you to come this far so that to see your destruction. God wants to do something spectacular in your life in the year 2020. And I want you to start confessing, this is my year. This is my year of clarity. This is my year of my vision 2020. I am going to see clearly. I am going to see brightly. I am going to see the things that God has got in store for me. Vision is the ability to see the world as it could be. Seeing is the ability to see the world as it is. Vision is the ability to see the world as it could be. Which means you're looking into the world and saying, you know what? This is what I see. This is my current. But it's not what it could be. What it could be is what the Bible says about my situation, what the Bible says about my life, what the Bible says about my family, what the Bible says about my workplace. That is the vision. That is what God wants you to see. He says to Moses, or rather Abraham, he says, everywhere that your eye can see, I'll give it to you. Everywhere that your eye can see, I will give it to you. Do you realize that after Abram becomes Abraham, whatever God gave him was not around Israel? Uh-oh. Whatever God gave Abraham is you and me in America. Abraham's eyes could not see America. Come on, don't miss it. What God was challenging him to see was to see in the vision, in the spiritual eyes, to see the things that our physical eyes cannot see. Vision 2020. Clarity. When Abraham could look and he says, you are a father of nations, Abraham. He was saying, there are nations that you can't see right now, but I'll still give it to you because you can see it inside your spirit. What can you see? What do you see today? Our church is not where it's supposed to be. This ain't what I saw. Ah. This is not what the Lord showed me. Because what the Lord shows me has got a school. What the Lord showed me has got a missions field, has a home for the homeless. What the Lord showed me, this is not it. And I'm going to continue waiting until I see manifest the things that God had showed me. What has God showed you? Vision 2020. Let's go to the next slide. Even as we try to close. Judges number 4. Verse number 3. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron and 20 years he mightily. Again, this is just another evidence of the year 2020, and that everything that was held back is going to be released. If you have a chance, just go read Judges chapter number 4 and you will understand where that is coming from. If you can just go to the next one. We've talked about you have to believe your vision enough to start talking about it. Whatever it is that God has showed you, you start speaking it. Because the Bible says that the power of life and death lays in your tongue. When you start speaking it, you start manifesting it. When you start speaking it into the air, you create. Amen. Speak your word into being. We have been created in the image of God. Part of that is the ability to create by our words. So whatever it is the Lord is saying, if you keep it inside your heart, it keeps sealed up. If you're speaking it into the environment, you start building it by your words. Start creating it. Listen to me. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? That's clear. We know that. When you speak things, you hear them. And that is how faith comes. When you start speaking, I'm going to build a church. I'm going to build a church. That is what the Lord has spoken. I'm going to build a church. You will start believing it, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. So start speaking your vision. As we've talked about, if your vision is accepted the first time, it is not a vision from God yet. If it's accepted and believed the first time, it's probably not from God. When God allows us to see things into his timeline, the things there are perfect. He does not show us raw materials when he opens our eyes into the future. He doesn't give us the blueprints. He shows us the finished building. And many times, our circumstance, many times our situations currently do not look like the finished building. And that is why the first reaction of people is, no, it can't be. Every vision has only one believer at first. And sometimes we need to convince people. Every vision that we have sometimes only has one believer. It only has you to believe it. Because when God shows you, when God reveals these things to you, it comes to us by revelation. When he reveals these things to us, he makes them real to us. And it's so easy for us to run with it and believe it. And at first it's just me believing in. Sometimes I have to convince my wife. Praise the Lord. Which is a task. You may ask many of the people in the Bible. They had to talk to their wives about it. They're like, this is what the Lord is saying. Like, no, it can be. The final thing. Vision permits you to live intentionally. Vision permits you to live intentionally. Vision believes permits you to live intentionally. There's a story in the Bible. The Bible speaks about Jesus visiting these two sisters, Martha and Mary. The Bible says that as he's sitting down, Martha chooses to cook for God. Did I get it right this time around? Yeah, last time I was called out because I thought Mary did. So Martha decides to cook for God. She becomes very busy doing a lot of stuff. And then, as she's doing a lot of stuff, the Bible says that she gets offended that people are not helping her to do the lots of stuff. When we have a vision, or when we receive a revelation of what God has created us to be, when we receive a revelation of what our end looks like, we don't do a lot of stuff. We become intentional about everything that we are doing because we know what the end goal is. When she comes to Jesus' mother, she comes and says, "Master, why isn't Mary helping me with all this stuff?" And I do believe that many times in my life, I have seen moments when I was doing a lot of stuff, when I was offended that people were not helping me to do a lot of stuff. When we started this church, many, many people would come to us with great ideas of what we ought to do for mission work, what we ought to start doing. And you know, at first we were like, yeah, we should do that and we should do that. And probably, yes, that sounds Christian. Jesus' answer is about vision. He says there is many, many things, but there are some necessary things. If you have a vision, you find yourself sticking with the necessary things, as Paul would later tell us. He says, all things are permissible, Paul says, but not all things are necessary. All things are permissible, but not everything is necessary. When you have a vision, you realize that you will stop pursuing unnecessary things. When you walk into a bookstore, you know which books not to buy. When you're watching movies, you know which movies not to watch, because you have a vision. When you're buying stuff, you know, what do I need to move me from this point to this point, because I have a vision of where I'm going. Vision gives us intentionality in life. Vision moves us alongside purpose. So we are not just doing stuff. We are being intentional about everything that we are doing. We have a goal to achieve. What do you see? Can you have the confidence to say, this isn't what I saw? This is not part of what I've been shown about my life. This is not me. Indeed, as a church, we have grown, but we have not changed. There is growth and then there is change. Because we have come to learn to know this is our vision. This is what we are shooting for. That's why when somebody comes to me and says, we need to put things together to support a church in Africa, I tell them, nope, that's not what we are called to do. We are called to reach the unreached people groups here in the States. The people, the unchurched people groups. People who, when they go to a church, a normal church, people will not be comfortable with them. That is our mission field. So we stick to that. We say, this is what God showed us. So whatever we do, everything that we do, our sermons, the way they are going to be led, our prayer lives, the way it's going to be led, it is going to all come to this vision. Because this is what God has called us to be and to do. When we do our mission work, we are intentional about where we are doing the mission work. That is why I will take us to the park down at Martin Luther Park over and over and over again, because that's where the homeless people hang out. That is what God has called us to be. That's our vision. When you have a vision, you become intentional about everything that you will do. As you enter the year 2020, my prayer is that God will open your eyes to a vision of what you want to be. That you're not just aimlessly walking into this. Paul says that a time has come for him
where he does not punch like anybody just punching the air. Corinthians chapter 9 verse 27. He says, I'm intentional with every punch